The president caves. I can't believe he caved. What? Most Americans blaming the president for the shutdown. Big celebration in New York. Are you people crazy? Late-term abortion is now legal in New York. They're celebrating. Capital punishment is illegal, which means it's only okay to give lethal injection to infants. Now, if that seems rational or moral to you, you're a psychopath. Hey, this is the best it's been in 49 years. What? Going to the bank? Going to the mall? Going to the grocery store? What are your chances of being shot? Do you remember when the Democrats forced Ronald Reagan to open the government and then stiff the American people by reneging on the deal? Now, that's a nice house, but I'm not sure it's worth $238 million. Do you know what your problem is? Here it is. You're living your life in reverse. Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. News, information, lots of comments. The Bible all right here. Call a friend, tell them we're on the air. We're going to start this thing in just 1 minute. Kind of an exciting day around the Patton house here today. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed up. Well, you know what the Bible says about giving. Today, we are going to be on the other end. We're going to get. Yeah, God has been so gracious. We've had a friend say, you know what? You need a newer car. You need one getting really good gas mileage. So today, brand new engine installed, a 2006 Camry. Toyota Camry. So grateful. And for some reason, this guy just keeps getting. God keeps blessing and giving all kinds of funds to him, and he keeps funneling it out the back door as it comes in the front door. Are you like that? Are you a big giver? Oh, how gracious God's people are sometimes. Just kind of excited. Wouldn't you be? I've preached many times. I think this is it. I think this is the way to show where you are really spiritually in your giving. Think about it. What in the world is going on? Florida investigators today trying to determine why a former prison guard trainee barricaded himself in a bank in Sebring, opened fire before calling 911 and announcing, I've shot five people. Police say the carnage ended minutes later when Zephon Xavier, 21 years old, yielded to a SWAT team that swarmed the SunTrust Bank building and found those five bodies. The mayor, John Shoup, said his close-knit community was rocked by the attack and that tragedies like this are not supposed to happen here. Really? Acts like this cannot deter us from living our lives freely from fear and deprivation, the mayor added. The path turned dark today, but as we move on, we will grow stronger. But you see, there are more and more of these. Grocery store, I told you, had a shooting when I went to the grocery store at Kroger here in Fort Wayne. And the malls, about weekly. And the banks, easy targets. Yeah, just go in and shoot people. My, oh my, oh my. Getting stronger, are we? Pray that so. Not getting stronger in New York. One World Trade Center in New York City. The centerpiece of the World Trade Center complex, illuminated with pink lighting. Well, why is that? Oh, to celebrate the Empire State's passage of legislation designating abortion a fundamental right. It's okay to kill your baby. Entitled the Reproduction Health Act. Really? New York's latest abortion law allows termination of a pregnancy until the expected day? Are you kidding me? Of birth. Abortion may be performed by a licensed, certified, or authorized practitioner within 24 weeks from the commencement of pregnancy, or there is an absence of fetal viability, or at any time when necessary to protect a patient's life or health. What is happening in the world today, in America, in New York City? This is just sickening. The Reproductive Health Act's ending of criminal penalties for self-abortion and harming or killing with specific mention of homicide, unborn children. The Reproductive Health Act, what a name, also defines person as a human being who has been born and is alive. eliminating the possibility of recognizing the personhood of an unborn child. During her presidential campaign in 2016, Hillary Clinton stated that the unborn person doesn't have any constitutional rights. She praised New York Democrats' push for and passage of the aforementioned bill describing abortion as a reproductive health service. For who? The baby? This is just insane. It is the new America. Oh, Mr. President, you caved, huh? Trump delays State of the Union. Boy, are the Democrats excited today. President Trump announced last night late on his Twitter he's not going to give a State of the Union address until after the partial government shutdown is over. Isn't that what Nancy Pelosi wanted? The president's announcement was the culmination of a tense day of political chess. Is that what they call it? Political chess between Pelosi and Trump. The San Francisco Democrat told Trump that the House would not approve a resolution allowing him to address Congress in the House chamber until after the government reopens. The White House explored some other avenues for Trump to give the State of the Union address, and ultimately the president decided, nope, not gonna do it. I am not, oh, Mr. President, I am not looking for an alternative venue for the State of the Union address, because there is no venue that can compete with history, tradition, and importance of the House chamber. So, tweeted the president, I look forward to giving a great State of the Union address in the future. And, of course, Pelosi responded to Trump's announcement with a tweet of her own. Sounds like she's winning here. She said she hopes that the near future he talks about, means he's willing to support the House back package there to end the shutdown that's affecting about 800,000 federal workers. That's probably what it means, Nancy. So will the next decision mean I really don't need the 5.7, we really don't need a wall, and what is happening? I think Laura Ingraham hit it best. Yeah, let's go ahead and do this thing. She called this move a bad decision. She said she had an idea. I kind of like this. That she would give three messages, three speeches, a series. She'd give the first speech in Detroit, the second at the border, and the third at Ellis Island. Well, all three of those would have a major message, and I like it. Yeah, this is... But you gotta feel so bad for the 800,000... As the head of the Coast Guard said yesterday, this is not what we signed up for. All of our people going to the food banks and getting handouts from their neighbor. Yeah, this is not working. Christians, pray for these 800,000. Do you have food in your pantry, refrigerator? More news. Right after this. You know, as you and I search to discover God's plan for our lives today, I think there's three things that we ought to consider. We ought to consider glorifying God. We're commanded to let our light shine before men so we will bear spiritual fruit that glorifies the Lord. And we ought to conform to Christ's likeness. For each opportunity that we encounter, we must make this assessment. Will it help us become more like Jesus or tempt us into weaker areas and cause us to turn from God? If we submit our minds and emotions to God, His Spirit will build Jesus' character, His qualities, into our life. And then number three, following the Lord's will. When trying to decide how to proceed, ask yourself, is this in line with God's known will? Throughout the Bible, the Heavenly Father has revealed what pleases Him. His commands are clear regarding the way born-again believers should live. Home, business, community life, they're all to function according to His will. Whether in your family, the workplace, right there in your neighborhood, don't let yourself be pressured into actions or decisions that would be displeasing to God. Train yourself. Stop, look, and listen. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal whether each choice will bring God's glory, help develop Christ's character in you, and keep you in the center of God's plan and purpose. Good news, the number of Americans filing applications for unemployment benefits fell to a 49-year low last week, but the drop likely overstates the health of the labor market, as claims for several states, including California, were estimated. Initial claims for state unemployment benefits dropped 13,000 to a seasonally adjusted 199,000 for the week ending January the 19th. So is it good news or bad news, or is it, what is it? So amid all of this fighting and the Pelosi-Trump boxing match, the Senate today is expected to vote on competing bills to end the partial government shutdown. However, both are likely to fail because lawmakers are sharply divided on President Trump's proposed border wall, meaning neither bill will likely get enough votes to pass. The GOP bill, modeled after Trump's proposal from last weekend, in which he offered Democrats a 3-year extension protection for 700,000 deferred action for childhood arrivals, better known as DACA recipients, in exchange for the $5.7 billion he's been seeking for a barrier. Democrats rejected the funding for the wall outright. Their bill would reopen the government through February the 8th with no wall money, giving bargainers time to further negotiate and waste time and money and all that other stuff. Well, it's undoubtedly just another world that you and I can't really get our minds around, can we? Billionaire Ken Griffin, who's becoming almost as known for his many purchases as he is for his investment acumen, has closed on a New York penthouse for roughly $238 million, and the deal sets a record for the highest-priced home ever sold in the United States of America. The purchase is the latest in a string of record-breaking acquisitions by the Citadel hedge fund founder. Earlier this year, he bought several floors of a Chicago condominium for about $59 million, setting a record for the most expensive home ever bought in Chicago. And he snapped up a penthouse in Miami Beach in 2015 for $60 million, setting a record for a Miami condo, highest price ever. What is this guy doing? Since 2012, Mr. Griffin has spent about $250 million assembling land to build a mansion in Palm Beach. And earlier this month, he acquired a London home for about $122 million. There is something in that hedge fund business, right? No, there's no problem with people coming across the wall or under it or whatever. More than 100 migrants taken into custody after being caught on camera. This is an unbelievable sight. They're scaling a border wall in Arizona just, well, a week after 376 others had dug their way in the near same location. Monday this week, Border Patrol agents apprehended a group of 110-plus Central Americans who illegally scaled the wall with the assistance of a smuggler who had a ladder. Yeah, that's not a problem. On January 14th, officials said 376 Central American migrants entered the U.S. illegally through holes below the structure at the Arizona border. I mean, this is a problem. Why would we not want to build a wall? Why do you shut and lock your door at night at your home? I just don't get it. Almost every week, another story about robots. They aren't replacing everyone. I haven't really seen them anywhere yet. But a quarter, 25% of U.S. jobs will be severely disrupted as AI, artificial intelligence, accelerates the automation of existing work, according to a new Brookings Institute report coming out today. It says roughly 36 million Americans hold jobs with high exposure to automation, meaning at least 70% of their tasks could soon be performed by a machine using current technology, what we have already. Among those most likely to be affected are cooks and waiters and others in the food industry, short-haul truck drivers, and clerical office workers. That population is going to need to upskill, reskill, or change jobs very fast, said Mark Miro, senior fellow at Brookings and a lead author of this report. He said the timeline for the changes could be a few years or it could be 20 years, but it's likely that automation will happen more quickly during the next economic downturn. Businesses are typically eager to implement cost-cutting technology as they lay off workers. And this is interesting. Do you know that we imprison more people in America than anywhere else in the world? Yeah, anywhere else in the world. The end of 2016, 2.2 million adults 4.5 million were in other correctional facilities. Put another way, one in every 38 adult Americans under some form of correction. The nightmare in this situation is one of the few issues that unite politicians. Under immense pressure to reduce prison numbers without risking a rise in crime, courtrooms across the country are going into AI again. Artificial intelligence and using those tools in an attempt to shuffle defendants through the legal system as efficiently as possible. And did you know that police departments use predictive algorithms to strategize about where to send their ranks? Law enforcement agencies use face recognition systems to help identify suspects. These practices have garnered well-deserved scrutiny for whether they are in fact improving safety or simply perpetuating existing inequalities in America. Researchers and civil rights advocates, for example, have repeatedly demonstrated that face recognition systems can fail spectacularly, particularly among dark-skinned people, even mistaking members of Congress for convicted criminals. AI is sending people to jail, and they're getting it wrong. This will be some story in the days ahead. No. I said put it in forward, not reverse. Right after this message. So the devil was telling me the other day that we haven't done much in the ministry. 31 years here in the same church and evangelistic services, revivals held all over America and overseas since the 1980s. All God started to remind me that hundreds have been saved, thousands of decisions made. We've helped so many people in the area of the spirit world, that invisible war on the saints. God has done some marvelous things, and it's all Him. Just give yourself unreservedly to God Almighty and see what He might do in your life. And don't listen to the devil. He will do that game every time. You're not doing much. You haven't done much. You're worthless. Look to the author and the finisher of your faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. You will rejoice right now. Let me ask you, do you think there's a possibility that you're living life in reverse? You're going in the wrong direction? Most of us know what it feels like to be lost while driving in an unfamiliar city or a neighborhood when we were in evangelism. That happened several times, trust me. One moment we're traveling along without any problems at all, things going great, smile on my face, and suddenly you have a sinking feeling. You're fighting it. It results from having taken a wrong turn. One Sunday morning we were 19 miles in the wrong direction and had to be at Sunday school at 9:30. That was quite a trip back. No matter how hard we try to dismiss the hounding thoughts, the reality cannot be denied that we are on a wrong road, and we are headed in the opposite direction from where we need to be. You know, if we continue, we're going to even be further off course, and at this point, kind of double-checking the roadmap, men hate to do that, by the way, will not help unless our hearts and minds are set on getting back to the right spot. Many people, however, are not prepared to do this spiritually. Did you know that? God wants to lead them along a certain pathway, but they allow their hearts to be just pulled away from Him. They give an ear to selfish thoughts and negative words spoken by others and fed by demonic spirits and countless other distractions that come into our lives, such as feelings of doubt, of fear, big problem in the church, pride. They mistakenly believe that they are moving forward when in reality they're living their whole life in reverse. Have you ever met someone whose life seemed to be right on target? I mean, heading in the right direction. Life was focused, headed in a God-led way. And now as you listen to that person, you can't help but notice the evidence on his face of the burden he was carrying. He was living a life going in the wrong direction, not going forward at all, but actually going backward in his devotion to God. Making plenty of money, his family had every material thing they could hope for. You know somebody like this? Yet there was a deep sense of emptiness and loss in the heart. His lack of godly obedience had drained his emotional energy. For a long time he had been striving to please Almighty God, but nothing he did seemed good enough. All God really wanted was his heart and his devotion, something he'd not been willing to give up. I have a brother who said, years ago, God called me into the ministry. He said with a downward glance, but I've ended up working mostly for myself in life, and I'm paying the price of my disobedience. The question, how can I get back with God? Do you think it's too late? No. That would be my answer. No. It's never too late to admit that you've taken a wrong turn and that you want God to bring you back to the place where He wants you to be. There may be a sense of consequence you'll have to face, but you're not going to face it alone. While not everyone is called to work in a Christian vocation, God certainly has plans and goals for your life. He knows each one of us intimately. He knows us perfectly. He also loves us with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3. If we allow Him, He will restore what has been damaged by sin and threatened or even taken away. Usually those who strive to have the most end up with the least. Their lives become entangled in sin and greed and doubt, and they're fixated on having everything their way in life. Instead of being focused in doing God's will His way, they become focused on getting ahead, being the leader, having more of their friends and co-workers do things. They end up going nowhere spiritually in life, and suddenly their desire to please the Lord is just kind of pushed aside or ignored totally. Does any of this sound familiar? And eventually life begins to unravel and they wonder, what has gone wrong? God doesn't want me to be happy? What's that all about? You know, you were created for a purpose. Whether we want to admit that or not, we are the happiest and the most fulfilled in this old world when we're living in the center of the will of God. All the wealth, all the power, all the fame this world can muster up, not going to do it, cannot save us from the consequences of deliberate sin in life. Now, we might think we've arrived at a great destination and achieved a noteworthy accomplishment, but it's not what God has chosen for you. We're living life in reverse, and we are out of the will of God. I suppose Luke chapter 15, that's the most notable of all of those out of the will of God. Starting there at verse 11 through 24, you know, you're going to suffer for your disobedience, yeah, just like the prodigal son did. Jesus told this parable with a twofold purpose. He wanted the people to understand the devastating effect of sin and disobedience. However, just as importantly, He wanted them to gain an awesome perspective of God's unconditional love and forgiveness. Mark that. With his back against a dark, dismal wall of hopelessness, fear, and broken dreams, the prodigal made a life-changing decision. He would go home. Though he had walked away from his family, traveled to a distant country, and spent all he had been given on riotous living, he was still his father's son. And ultimately, it's God's eternal message to you that you belong to Him, and He will never turn away from you. Okay, I got it. What should I be doing, Greg? Hey, ask God to forgive you. God will never give up on you. His overarching plan is for you to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and this is His ultimate will. However, He also has plans and He has desires for your life, what you ought to be doing now. All are incredible and full of His hope for your future. One wrong decision or even a series of errors cannot diminish the love that God has for you. Just trust Him. Trust Him. You're going to find that He will meet you right where you are right now today and will lead you forward into a future of hope and blessing. Isn't that great? What a God we serve. And finally, let's end with this. So the old-timer, there he was, talking to the neighbor, telling him about his new hearing aid he just got. It cost me a fortune, but it was worth it. It works perfectly. Really, said the neighbor, what kind is it? Why, it's 1030, responded the old-timer. Oh, and lest I forget, a tip of the hat to missionary Roy McLean, going from Tri-Cities to Honduras to start serving another four-month term. What a guy. He is no spring chicken. I'm excited to hear that. God bless you, Roy. That's it. Hello, world, for a Thursday. Thank you so much for listening. Please tell others about the broadcast and join us on Facebook. Greg, Jerry G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Thank you. God bless. Enjoy the remainder of your day.